You ever wake up, reach for your phone before your eyes even finish opening, and immediately scroll through five apps you don't even remember tapping? And then you blink, and it's 10 a.m., and somehow you feel exhausted, despite having done absolutely nothing except feed your brain a buffet of pointless content. Welcome to the Dopamine Casino. Open 24/7, no dress code required. You can check in, check out, and lose hours of your life without ever having to leave your bed. Dopamine is the drug everyone's on, and most people don't even know it. It's like Fight Club if Fight Club was run by Zuckerberg, and instead of punching each other, we just fry our nervous systems one notification at a time. Now, this wasn't always the plan, by the way. Dopamine used to be a survival mechanism, a tiny chemical reward that helped our ancestors get excited about important things like finding food, avoiding death, or occasionally procreating. But somewhere between inventing fire and inventing TikTok thirst traps, we decided dopamine could do so much more. I mean, why limit it to survival when we could turn it into the entire economy? Now, instead of rewarding you for not dying, dopamine rewards you for checking your phone 200 times a day, refreshing Instagram to see if anyone liked that picture of your breakfast, a doom scrolling through headlines you can't do anything about. It's like we took our brain's most basic motivational system and turned it into a carnival ride that we can't get off. Because every time we try, our brain throws a toddler tantrum and demands just one more hit. Spoiler, that one more is never enough. And that's the whole point. So let's rewind a little bit before the casino got built, before we all became twitchy little dopamine slot junkies. There was a time, believe it or not, when people got bored. Like, truly sit on a porch, stare at a tree. Bored. And that was fine. In fact, it was kind of healthy, I think. Boredom used to be the prelude to creativity. Now it's a symptom of digital withdrawal. So, dopamine, it's really been with us forever. It was evolution's way of saying, "Hey, dummy, you just found berries. Good job. Do that again before you die of scurvy." It gave us little chemical bonuses for behaviors that kept us alive. Eat food, ding. See a cute person, ding. Don't walk into the saber-toothed tiger's mouth. Ding, ding. But then came my agriculture, cities, philosophy, and eventually reality TV. And somewhere along the way, that long, stupid road, some genius figured out that you could hijack dopamine. not just influence it, exploit it on purpose. Enter the attention economy, or as I like to call it, the great dopamine harvest. Tech companies realized they weren't just building products. They were building Skinner boxes. Remember those experiments where they had rats push a lever to get a food pellet? We're the rats. The lever is your phone, and the pellet, it's a fleeting sense of validation from someone you don't even like. Except now, instead of pellets, we're fed curated content. Filtered faces, clickbait headlines, and ads for things we didn't know we needed until they showed up while we were trying to figure out if our ex's new partner looks like a potato or a threat. And the scariest part, these platforms were built intentionally to be addictive. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's a business model. Designers studied the psychology of gambling to make infinite scroll. They studied human reward systems to time the delivery of likes and comments. They turned notifications into little psychological slot machines. And you didn't know what you were going to get, but you might get something. So you keep pulling the lever. And unlike the old casinos where you had to show up in a tacky shirt and physically lose your money under fluorescent lighting, the casino fits in your pocket. It's there when you wake up. It's there when you poop. It's there when you're pretending to listen to someone talk about their CrossFit journey. Congrats, you're always playing. So now that we've all checked into the dopamine casino, what's it like living there? Short answer, exhausting. Long answer, it's like trying to think clearly while someone flicks a flashlight in your eyes every 4 seconds and whispers, "You suck, but here's a like." We are drowning in stimulation. We're overstimulated, but underfulfilled. Hyperconnected, but emotionally malnourished. And somehow, even though we've got access to more information than any humans in history, we can't focus long enough to finish a video that's not under 60 seconds or narrated by a guy yelling at stock footage. So, I think the problem isn't that dopamine itself is evil. It's that we've flooded the system. Imagine if every single interaction in your life was followed by a tiny applause break. That's what the internet has done. It turned attention into currency and your brain into a nervous wreck with a gambling problem. I mean, even the way we communicate now is kind of warped. Texting used to be a tool. Now it's emotional roulette. Someone leaves you on red, instant rejection. Someone types a message, then stops. Existential crisis. Did they die? Are they ghosting you? Are they typing something better to someone hotter? I mean, you know, this is what we've done. We've taken basic human interactions and filtered them through a slot machine algorithm where unpredictability is part of the high. And the house always wins, remember? I mean, even entertainment. Remember when that was a thing? You'd watch one show, maybe two, and then go do something else like talk to a person or develop a hobby. And now we binge watch 9 episodes in a row and still feel empty, like we just ate an entire pizza made out of air. Because it's not about satisfaction anymore. It's about the hit, the fix, the constant feed. I mean, they don't call us users for no reason. I mean, we don't even know how to be bored anymore. Silence makes us twitchy. Stillness makes us feel like failure. And if we're not consuming something, reacting to something, or scrolling for something, we start to spiral. Casino has made reality feel slow. So we just keep scrolling faster, shorter, louder. And the worst part, the more we do it, the less it works. Or at least that's how it seems. So dopamine doesn't just reward you, it adapts. Your brain starts raising the bar. What used to be exciting now feels like nothing. That meme you laughed at yesterday, dead to you. That Instagram post you got 100 likes on? Nah. You need more than that. It's never enough. There's never enough likes. And that's how addiction works. You chase the first high, you'll never get back. And just like that, we're all sitting in the neon glow of our screens, pale and anxious, endlessly refreshing, waiting for the next hit that never really lands. So, you ever walk into a casino and notice there are no clocks? That's not an accident. They don't want you to know what time it is, because time passing means awareness. Awareness leads to guilt, and guilt makes people leave. Now, take that philosophy and inject it into every app on your phone, because that's basically what Silicon Valley did. They didn't just build tools, they reverse engineered us. They took decades of psychological research, much of it originally meant to help people, and said, you know what would be great? If we used all this to make people click ads until they hate themselves. And that's pretty much how we ended up with Infinite Scroll. That's how we got variable rewards. Sometimes you get a like, sometimes a comment, sometimes a sponsored post selling you some kind of special beverage for your anxiety. I mean, everything is designed to keep you on the treadmill. And these companies don't care if you're happy. They only really care if you're engaged. They measure success in screen time and clicks and user retention, which is a very polite way of saying addiction. Now, I'm not saying that all content is bad for us. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of great stuff on the internet, a lot of helpful stuff. It's just our relationship with how we view this stuff is really messed up. I mean, you ultimately are not the customer. You're the product. I mean, the customer is anyone paying to shove something into your eyeballs, and your eyeballs are very available. It's capitalism meets behavioral science meets your crumbling attention span, and it works. It works too well. These people, they went to Stanford, they studied addiction, cognitive bias, neuroscience, and then he used all of that to figure out the fastest way to turn your phone into a pocket-sized Pavlov bell. And the best part, they knew what they were doing. If some of the original designers of these platforms now refuse to let their own kids use them. Think about that. If you created a toy and then refused to let your own child touch it, you either built a bomb or a demon in plastic packaging. And yet we keep pulling the lever. Instead of putting money in it, we just feed our time. We just pay with our time. We say, oh, we're just checking our phones. Like junkies, just checking their baggie to make sure it's still there. And every hit is engineered to keep you chasing the next one, even though none of it fills the hole. Because, and this is important, the hole isn't fillable. I mean, it's a bottomless pit. And that's the secret the casino never tells you. You don't win, you just get numb. And the longer you stay in, the more you lose the ability to feel anything outside of it. Silicon Valley didn't invent dopamine, but they figured out how to sell it back to us, one tap at a time. So, where do we go from here? Well, I mean, if you're hoping for a happy ending, I got bad news for you. I'd say lower your expectations to somewhere between haunted amusement park and Black Mirror episode that got cut for being too depressing. Because the dopamine casino isn't closing anytime soon. In fact, it seems to be expanding, adding new wings, building out the high roller suite. And guess who's the new dealer? That's right, AI. I mean, the algorithms used to just track what we liked. And now they create what we like before we even know we like it. I mean, deep fake influencers, AI generated content, chatbot friends, TikToks made by no one and watched by millions. I mean, soon you won't just be consuming content made by real people. You'll be binging content made by machines pretending to be people because they know your cravings better than you do. I mean, look, I've had people leave comments under my videos saying that I'm AI. And then the few times I've tried to, refute that, they come back with, well, that's what an AI would say. So at this point, I'm just going with the flow. If you want to believe I'm AI, there's nothing I can do about that, I guess, but such are the times we're in, and it is what it is. So, I don't know. We're going to eat it up no matter what. Because at this point, do we even care if it's real? I mean, I think people are just kind of accepting it. And, acceptance, it's going to happen because AI is coming like a tidal wave. So, as long as it keeps hitting that dopamine button, we're good. And I don't know, romance replaced by AI companions who say exactly what you want to hear. I mean, that's coming. Art generated in 0.4 seconds by a prompt and a server in Ohio. Music, auto-generated lo-fi beats tailored to your mood or whatever mood the algorithm wants you to be in. It's not even a casino anymore. It's a theme park of artificial feelings. And behind the flashing lights, we're getting lonelier. And not just alone, but disconnected from nature, from each other, from ourselves. We've trained our brains to expect constant stimulation. And when it's gone, we feel nothing. Or worse, bored. And God forbid we sit with boredom. That's when the existential dread starts whispering again. You ever try to meditate after 3 hours of scrolling TikTok? It's like trying to teach a coked up squirrel to do yoga. And yet, somehow, this is normal now. The baseline. A world where everyone's fired, everyone's fried, overstimulated, and quietly wondering why they feel so empty all the time. Okay, so here we are, fully checked into the dopamine casino, scrolling like lab rats, eyes glazed over, one thumb swipe away from a complete nervous breakdown, and somehow still weirdly bored. And now what? We're not going to burn our phones in a ritualistic cleansing ceremony. We're not joining a monastery. We're probably not even going to make it through a full weekend without checking email in the bathroom, and that's fine. Because here's the thing, this tech, it isn't evil. It's not some cursed monkey paw we stumbled across. It's brilliant, it connects us, informs us, entertains us, helps us survive awkward silences and elevators. It's useful, even necessary in the world we live in. And the goal isn't to totally reject it. The goal is to stop letting it own us. You know, we're not here to become saints. We're here to become slightly less fried. And let's not pretend that there's a perfect fix. There isn't. This is less of a detox plan and more of a try not to lose your mind completely in a world built to hijack it situation. And here's how I think we might survive with our humanity intact. I would start with, let's just get comfortable with boredom. I mean, we've trained ourselves to flinch at stillness like it's a horror movie. But maybe try learning to be okay with awkward silence. Let our minds wander. No phone, no screen, just staring into the middle distance like emotionally complex raccoons. It'll feel weird, then it'll feel like clarity. And I think we can start unfollowing the circus. Maybe we stop feeding the beast a little bit. Unfollow the rage bait accounts, mute the influencer who sells anxiety in pastel fonts, scroll less, think more, or at least feel more than the empty twitch of next. You know, I think we should curate our input like it matters, because it does. If we're going to feed our brains all day, we might as well serve something with actual nutrition. Less clickbait, more thought, less FOMO, more WTF am I even doing? Let's set some boundaries, like actual boundaries. We don't need to toss our phones in a lake, but we can leave them in another room once in a while. Set screen time limits, take an app off the home screen. Remember when we used to eat dinner without checking 10 things first? Yeah, let's go outside. Seriously, you know, I always bring it back to nature. I think nature's a great healer. Just getting off of the digital stuff altogether for a while outside. You know, it doesn't have to be a wellness cliche, but as a survival tactic. You know, our nervous systems weren't designed for this much glowing rectangle. Sometimes we just need to stand in the sun and breathe like feral creatures, remembering the forest. And let's talk, like with voices. DMs are fine, memes are great, but we need real conversations too. Face-to-face conversations. With pauses, laughter, and actual eye contact. I know it's tough. That ancient technology, being in a room with another person, wild concept, right? And, you know, here's another thing. Let's give ourselves a break. We're not failures for falling into a trap. The whole thing was designed to hook us. Our brains are responding exactly the way they were wired to. I mean, there's no shame in that, only awareness. And with awareness comes not power exactly, but maybe a little wiggle room, a little more choice. You know, the point isn't to escape completely. The ship has sailed, and it's captained by a TikTok algorithm doing 80 knots. But we can sneak out of the casino sometimes, long enough to remember we're more than our impulses, more than dopamine-fueled reflexes. You know, this tech isn't going away, and we don't need it to. We just need to learn to hold the remote instead of handing it over to a hyper-optimized slot machine that knows our secrets and wants our soul. I mean, we still have the capacity to choose. Step outside to connect, to breathe, and maybe on a really good day to feel something real. Even if it's just the sun on our face and that quiet relief that not checking our phone for 5 whole minutes. Thanks for watching.